That's right. We're right back here. Sharp Fastis Gallery, 4:07 in the afternoon. And I have our Secretary of State, Mark Hammond. It's the last time you sat in that seat. You were up for election, re-election, I think, wasn't it, Mark?
I was, yes.
That's right.
Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. And you're not getting elected right now. You're just in the seat. So how about that?
That's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Well, you decided to come up here because you live in Spartanburg, correct?
I do.
Yes. So you make this trip every day?
Yeah, I do. If I don't have an event that I need to attend. Earlier this week, I was in Myrtle Beach. So I do travel quite a bit, but I'm in the office as much as I can be.
You were down in Myrtle Beach earlier in the week. Does that have to do with that big bust down there on counterfeit goods?
It does, yeah. And I wanted to go down there and thank those law enforcement officers. These aren't easy cases to make. Usually there's a large quantity of the counterfeit merchandise that has to be seized and placed into evidence. It has to be inventoried, and it's a lot of work. But I really appreciate those law enforcement officers going out and making these cases, because counterfeit merchandise and the trafficking of counterfeit merchandise is hurting the economy here in South Carolina. And our small businesses especially have plenty of competition as it is, and they shouldn't have to be competing with other retailers or jockey lots or flea markets that are peddling this fake merchandise.
As far as the merchandise coming in, the merchandise has to be coming in. This really should be stopped at the port, shouldn't it, Mark?
It should be, but it's just so easily available, especially through the internet. And I think a lot of these individuals get that merchandise through the internet. Also, we found out that a lot of these criminals that want to sell counterfeit merchandise goes to Atlanta and New York and buys this fake merchandise and brings it down and sells it. It's not a victimless crime.
Mm-hmm.
These people aren't playing by the rules, and like I said, it's unfair competition for them to be out selling that when so many others are.
I've actually been at retail shows where they've come in and confiscated whole booths of people's merchandise that we're selling to resellers to sell to like stores in Myrtle Beach or wherever. Yeah.
Well, there's other concerns too, and a lot of the merchandise isn't safe. A lot of it does have the flame retardants that other apparel may be required to have because of our laws and the standards that we want these companies to meet. So also, it's a growing business, unfortunately. I mean, a lot of folks think that it's just hats and bags and T-shirts, cologne, but it is starting to work its way into much more dangerous items.
Well, how about drugs?
Exactly. And I was going to mention to you, in March, we worked with Customs, and $1 million in fake pharmaceuticals were seized about two warehouses down near William Bryce Stadium. And
that's right there in Columbia.
Yeah,
yep.
Right in the middle of Columbia. He was warehousing this, and he was a distributor and sending it to all customers from South Carolina, who knows, from probably all across the United States.
So where was it coming into?
We feel like a lot of that came from India, the fake pharmaceuticals, but could have also been China.
But, I mean, did it come into the port of Charleston, or was this being flown in, or do you know how the merchandise was getting into the country?
Yeah, well, I think that's what Customs is looking at now. It's their case, but we were glad to work with them and help them out and inventory that with them.
Absolutely. So, so you have any idea how many dollars is actually affecting for South Carolina?
Oh, it would have to be a tremendous amount. I mean, just to give you some numbers that we get from the association out of New York, it's billions of dollars that
billions?
It cost. Yes, worldwide. It's billions of dollars.
Worldwide. But any idea for South Carolina?
No, it's hard to put a actual figure on it, but I think it would be a large amount.
Well, $275,000 down there at the beach is not. Now, how do you value that merchandise? Is that at cost, or is that at the prices they were selling it at?
No, that's estimated retail value.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And really, how people may not know, well, what is the Secretary of State, why is he even involved with this?
Yeah, why are you involved, Mark?
Well, trademarks are registered in the Secretary of State's office, so I believe that it's our responsibility to do everything we can to protect those marks. Again, helping business here in South Carolina. And also that goes into, well, it was a subject of the debates during the last presidential election. We need to protect intellectual property rights. So that's
I don't know how you can do that. How can you do that, Mark?
Well, by making these cases, working with customs, and coming on radio shows and telling these people who are out there purchasing this merchandise, you know, how it's hurting our economy and how it's hurting our realtors. And just as you've heard before, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
But I think, don't you think, though, the public in a lot of aspects, I can buy Hello Kitty for $5 or I could pay $25 for a Hello Kitty. It's very hard for a human being to say I should pay the $25, isn't it?
Yeah,
as an example,
I'm sure it is.
As an example.
But you need to look at the quality, too. I mean, a lot of folks like to purchase those sneakers, but I don't think they last but a couple of weeks, so... What's
big
your long term?
Well, and particularly with drugs, particularly pharmaceutical drugs, I'm talking about. You know, that we've seen stories on TV about how they thought they were getting drug XYZ, pharmaceutical XYZ, and just to find out it wasn't any of those things that were in it that should have been in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's dangerous. It's a health hazard, and like I said, I believe. Folks also have another misconception, and that's that, you know, this is just someone doing this as a second job or part-time or on the weekends trying to earn a little extra money. Well, that couldn't be further from the case. I mean, the people involved in this is their job, and they move around. A lot of them go up and down the East Coast, and we've also found after these individuals have been arrested that a lot of them are here on expired visas and things like that. So the association out of New York also has done some research, and they have found where some of the profits from the sale of this merchandise has worked its way back to some organizations that just do not have the best interests of the United States in mind. So it's big business, and again, if you know of someone selling counterfeit merchandise, please call the Secretary of State's office, and we'll be glad to take a look at it.
Well, that's, you know, you just don't think about it, I think, as much as probably people should.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, as you said, big business, 275,000 down there on the beach, and there's probably more.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, there probably is more down there at the beach, particularly in that area.
I'm sure there are. And that's why just some numbers, since I've been elected Secretary of State, we've participated in the arrest of over 200 people. So that's going back probably the last 7 years, and we've estimated in retail value that we've confiscated over $7 million in merchandise. And I was able to get the statute revised in 2006, and I believe that's why so many law enforcement agencies are more interested in are making these cases, and prosecutors interested in prosecuting it, because before we had the weakest statute in the country. If you were caught trafficking, it was a 1 year and or a $5,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
But not anymore. If you have over $10,000 of value, then you can be subject to 5 years in jail and up to a $10,000 fine. And what I think is very important that I was glad to get changed into the statute is now we have provisions for repeat offenders. So if someone's out there and they're a repeat offender, they can really see some tough penalties and fines now.
And does, I guess, any of the moving goods across state lines or anything, that doesn't really fall in there? Does it make it a federal case or is it a state case?
It would probably be more federal than with customs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've already started talking about some of the interesting points of being Secretary of State, some of the things they're dealing with. Right now, though, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. We're going to be talking about what the Office of Secretary of State does. We're going to be talking about, something that's coming up about charitable raffles. And also a new idea, actually, that Mark has come up with about boards and commissions, as well as all those charities out there. So many people have wanted to give money to help the people, whether it's in Oklahoma, the Midwest, but there's so many different places that it would be nice to be able to help. But on the flip side, you want to know that your money is going for a good cause. So we're going to talk about all those things. If you have a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. Secretary of State Mark Hammond is with us here today. And we were just talking about what happened down there, counterfeiting down there at the beach and everything. And, of course, somebody just asked if your office has any ability to enforcement. I mean, like, can you go with guns blazing and get those goods?
Well, no, we can't. What we do, I have no one in my office that's commissioned that has any a commission to arrest or anything like that. So we may receive a complaint, or a local law enforcement officer may receive a complaint. They'll call us. What usually occurs is we'll send someone from the office or someone that represents that company, and we get a lot of calls from these companies. They have agents that travel throughout the state looking for this merchandise. We'll make a buy, identify the item as being counterfeit, then call local law enforcement, and then set up a time that we may conduct a raid.
Oh, okay. So a lot of this actually comes from the companies themselves who want these goods removed from the...
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. They have agents. They spend millions of dollars to fight this, and they have agents that travel all over the country looking for this merchandise.
Wow. So it is really big business. It is a problem here in South Carolina. But, you know, again, it's probably a problem in every state, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is in every state.
And, for example, I know Chinatown in New York City has a big problem there. They've done specials on that one on TV, but still to have that here. But I find that very interesting about the pharmaceuticals there right near mm-hmm. Bryce Stadium.
Yes, big warehouse. You know, if anyone's been down there, there's several warehouses all around the stadium. And, just over $1 million in counterfeit pharmaceuticals. And I'm just glad we were able to get that off our streets.
Now, that one would be difficult as far as the pharmaceutical companies would. Now, I wonder how did that one come about? How did they discover that this gentleman or these people had this stuff right in the middle of Columbia?
I think Customs was the lead on that, and they asked us to partner with them. So they had done a lot of the investigation, but we just assisted.
Okay. And the big part the Secretary of State plays is on trademarks.
That's right. Those are registered in the Secretary of State's office. And
do they register them in every state?
They do, and that offers you protections in the state, but to be able to be registered throughout the United States, then you have to get your your trademark through the federal government. And that's a lengthy process. Sometimes that can take 18 months, I've heard, maybe 2 years. So a lot of folks who start up a business, they want that protection, at least in their state. So they go ahead and register the mark in the state while they're applying for their federal trademark.
Okay. All right. Now, once you have a federal trademark, do you have to register in every state, or is it automatic?
No, then you have the... And also, that's a revision that I made to the statute, that if you have that federal recognition, then we recognize you in South Carolina.
So any...
So each individual company, like Gucci, Couch, you know, going down the line.
All of those would be recognized.
That's right.
So that's one part of what goes on in the Secretary of State, but you actually have about five different organizations, don't you?
Well, we have a lot of responsibilities, a lot that people don't know about.
Yeah, the business filings division, the trademarks division, the charities divisions, notaries, and here's the one that really gets me, the cable franchise.
That's right. Yeah.
What is the cable franchise?
We were asked to take on this responsibility, I guess, about 4 years ago, and it has been a really good for the state of South Carolina. You know, cable companies now are continually offering new packages, and they're bundling their services, and they want to get into different areas in the state. Well, before, they would have to go to each municipality and then go to each county and so on and so on to be able to offer their services, and then they would have to negotiate those contracts or services with each municipality, each county, and then eventually be able to provide that service. Well, they wanted to speed that process up. And so they decided that they would create a new statute of cable franchising authority, place that in the Secretary of State's office. So now what occurs if, there's many companies, I'll use ATT as an example. If they want to come in and say, we want to provide services now here in Greenwood County, well, they would notify the Secretary of State's office. Then I would notify all the municipalities and county government for Greenwood County and let them know that AT&T wants to provide X service here in your county. Then AT&T and those county and municipalities get together and work out their agreements, their contract, or public service stations, whatever that they want to be part of the package or a part of the agreement for that service to be provided in the county. Usually it's around 60 to 90 days. Then they send me a form in the Secretary of State's office saying that they consent to allowing that company to provide the service in that area that they asked us to notify. Once I receive that, that they have consented, then I issue AT&T the certificate of authority to do business there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so each cable company has to go through this process.
Yeah. And Comcast, Time Warner, AT&T, that's, you know, some of the big ones. Charter.
Sure.
But if they want to expand or offer new services, go into another county, then they have to notice the Secretary of State's office, and then we call and or send notice to all those municipalities in the area that they want to provide that service in.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know that. Now, the Business and Filings Division, that's what does that one do? I think that's what we usually think of when we think of the Secretary of State, isn't it?
Well, I like to tell folks in a nutshell that the Secretary of State's office is integral in the transaction of business here for the state of South Carolina. Anyone that wants to incorporate files those articles of incorporation in the Secretary of State's office. That's, articles to incorporate. That's your limited liability companies. That's your nonprofits. All the different forms of incorporation, limited partnerships, limited liability partnerships are all filed and public record in the Secretary of State's office. And we get thousands of those filings a year. Not only do we get the new businesses or the new filings, new corporations that are starting, we get a lot of filings through people who want to amend those articles. Just because you incorporate, well, 3-4 years later, there may be changes that you want to make to your corporation. So those amendments are filed in the Secretary of State's office. So with the amendments and the new filings, we could have 60,000 filings in a year. But all those are there in the Secretary of State's office.
Now, one of the things that when I talked to you when you were running for election, you wanted to put a lot of this online.
And we've been able to do that.
Well, there you go.
Yes, we have. And as a matter of fact, we've had others come to South Carolina to look at our system and look what we have done to take that back to their states. We're very proud of our South Carolina Business One Stop. You know, people continually talk about streamlining government and restructuring government. Well, I think I have done more than talk about it. I think I've actually accomplished something. And through our South Carolina Business One Stop, you can incorporate now. And you can also go into the Department of Revenue and apply for licenses and permits that you may need with Department of Revenue. You can also go into what's called DOE now, Department of Employment, workforce if you're going to hire employees and fill out some of those applications. So there's about five state agencies now that is part of South Carolina Business One Stop, and you can do all this at the convenience of your home and not coming to Columbia. Wow. And you can do it on your schedule, not our schedule. If you want to incorporate tonight at 9 o'clock, you can do that through SC Boss. You can sit right there
and do it. That's pretty terrific. Hey, I tell you what, we are with Mark Hammond. He is Secretary of State for South Carolina. We are going to listen to South Carolina News. And that, yes, we'll be right back. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Ah, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking about politics here, some of the things going on out there in the world. If you were listening this morning, you know that I told Congressman Jeff Duncan I think we need bills that have no more than 10 pages. He said he thought 10 was a little light, but he agreed there should be some common sense to bills. We were just talking about the farm bill, 1,200 pages and $1 trillion budget for the farm bill. Is that ridiculous? Yes, that's ridiculous.
Well,
but
I will share this with you, Anna. You know, we were talking about the Secretary of State's office, and I'm sure a lot of people don't know of this responsibility, but South Carolina did pass an immigration law maybe 2 years ago, but the Secretary of State is part of that law also. LLR, Labor Licensing and Regulation, has the job of going out to check these businesses who are hiring to make sure they're doing the e-verification, and all of employees are supposed to be e-verified. Well, if they go out and they find out that these companies are hiring and haven't checked out or done their e-verifying, then LLR can impose fines. And then if they turn out to be habitual offenders, and LLR would be able to explain more exactly, you know, what you have to do to get to that point. But eventually, if they don't start to comply like they're supposed to, they're going to send a notice to the Secretary of State's office, and we would suspend their incorporation. So when you went to our database, if you pulled up that corporation, it would no longer be in good standing. It would have another designation, and we hadn't quite come up with that designation yet, but it's going to be something to do with the suspension.
Wow. Well, you know, we talk about immigration and everything, and you and I were just talking about what is happening here. The Senate has said we're not even going to build a fence anymore. You, of course, were just telling me we have good laws on the books. Why aren't we enforcing
laws? I think so. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to work so hard to enforce this law when they've done such a bad job of enforcing the laws that we currently have. So I'm very skeptical.
Yeah, I think most of us on this level are very skeptical about what is going to happen with immigration. But that's very interesting that if a corporation continually hires people that have not been e-verified, that they could end up with a suspension if they're a corporation.
That's right. If they file, a sole proprietor, they may have a business license with the county or the city, but if they're incorporated in most of these large companies are that need this labor, and if they find out that they're not following the law and e-verifying, then after a certain level of offense, then they're going to send notice to the Secretary of State's office. We'll go into our website, into our database, and that corporation, the articles of incorporation, and when you pull up a corporation, it lists, you know, their address and who their registered agent is, and it also lists their status, and we would change that to a suspension instead of good standing.
Okay. All right. So, and that is at your website at the Secretary of State. Now, what is the website that people can go in and look at?
It's scsos.com. South Carolina Secretary of State.
SOS.
That's right. SCSOS.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yes. Save our state. There you go. All right. Well, Other things that you do in your office, notaries, the Office of Notaries. If somebody becomes a notary, the requirements are based basically on whether you're a registered voter or not, correct?
That's right. Well, we have an application. That application can be found at your clerk of court's office usually, or you can go to our website, go into our library of forms, and you'll see where it says notaries and apostilles. Click into there, and you'll see the application. You can fill it out on the website, and then when it's printed, it'll be already filled in. Or you can make a copy of it, fill it out. You'll first need to send it to your delegation. So you would need to send that. I'm pretty sure Greenwood has a delegation office. Mm-hmm. And send it to the delegation office with $25. Once the legislators sign off on it, then they will send it to the Secretary of State's office. Once we receive it, then we'll send you your commission, and the commission is for 10 years.
Okay, and then it has to be renewed.
That's right.
Any process to renewing, or do you just have to pay some
same
money?
Same application as if it was the first time.
Okay, you have to go through the whole process
so
again.
Through the process, but same process, same application.
Right, yeah. Okay. All right, so that's the notaries, the cable franchise we've talked about, and I guess that brings us to charities, doesn't it?
It does, yes, and I think that's where we get the most attention. We have the duty of enforcing the Solicitation of Charitable Funds Act, and it's not something that I take lightly. You know, South Carolina is one of the most generous states in the nation, and it's been proven time and time again, even with much larger states. South Carolina usually ranks in the top 10 in charitable giving.
Wow.
So we're a small state, but we have a big heart. But on the other hand, we cannot let people take advantage of that generosity. So if someone is receiving a solicitation, that organization should be registered in the Secretary of State's office. If they have people calling and they've hired a professional fundraiser to make those calls for them, those professional fundraisers are supposed to identify themselves as fundraisers. Mm-hmm. If not, it's a violation of our statute.
So if somebody calls you, they're supposed to say, I'm a professional or how does this work?
Name of their company and a professional fundraiser. And that's one of the things that we tell donors to ask. That's one of the questions. First question, are you a professional fundraiser? Are you registered in the Secretary of State's office? And what percentage of my contribution is going to go to the charitable purpose? And you can also ask if it's tax deductible. Those were some violations that we receive also, that someone says that their contribution is tax deductible when it's not. Or sometimes the misrepresentation is that 100% is going to go to the charity.
Right.
And I've got this story that I like to tell. I received a call at home, and it was...
They didn't know you were Secretary of State.
They didn't know I was Secretary of State.
Okay.
And they were soliciting on behalf of a charitable organization, and I asked them if they were registered in South Carolina. They said that they were. I asked them if they were a professional fundraiser, and they told me that they were. And then I asked them, well, what percentage of my contribution is going to go to the charitable purpose? And she said 100%. And I said, well, how can 100% of my contribution go to the charitable purpose if you're a professional fundraiser? Who pays you? And she said, Jack in the back. So those are questions that you need to ask. And if you feel uncomfortable, you should not give to that organization. And if you feel like you've been misled, or if you feel like that as a charity that needs to be looked at, please call the Secretary of State's office. And we have a toll-free number for people to call. I mean, the citizens of South Carolina, they are our eyes and our ears. I have two investigators and an attorney who helps me with this. I can't make these cases without people calling and reporting some of the solicitations that they have received. And that toll-free number is 1-888-242-7484. Again, that's toll-free. Please give us a call if you have any questions about any charity or a charitable solicitation in the state of South Carolina.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that, when somebody gets on a roll, I'm talking a fundraiser gets on a roll, and they feel that they're getting comfortable and you get comfortable with them, they'll ask you for maybe your Social Security number, or maybe they'll ask you for a credit card number.
They should never give that out over the phone.
Right.
No. Never.
And what should you do, though, if you like what you're hearing, and like you said, you don't want to give a credit card out over the phone? What should you do?
Ask them to send you something in the mail, and a good organization should be more than happy to do that.
Sure.
So send me some information, and don't rush into that contribution. I know you can be there in the moment and want to give, but then take a step back, especially if you feel a little uncomfortable about the solicitation, and then ask them to send you something in the mail.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to tell folks, enforcing the Solicitation of Charitable Funds Act, we work on the civil end, so we have to make cases against these organizations, and our cases have to be proven. If a organization says, well, no, we didn't misrepresent, or they say that, no, they don't feel like they should be fined, they have the ability to go to the administrative law court. So what I'm trying to say is we have to dot our I's and cross our T's when we make these cases. But every year for the last 3 years, the number, the amount of money that we have collected in fines has increased. And this is going to be a record year for us, which will be closing out July 1st. We have collected over $300,000 in fines from charitable
organizations. So you have to be getting that from people calling the office. To be able to get the ball rolling, I would think.
And then we make the large cases against the telemarketers. One of the largest assurance of voluntary compliance agreements that we've been able to reach was against Midwest Publishing, and they were calling on behalf of the troopers, and they were misrepresenting themselves, telling that the contribution was tax deductible, all of the contribution was going to the charitable purpose when it wasn't. So we were able to make a case against them, and we settled with them for $30,000. So that was one of our larger cases this year.
Sure. Well, we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to go over a Scrooge list and maybe what it takes to be an angel. I do want to also talk a couple of things about whether the Secretary of State should be an appointed office. There is talk about that. That bill was in the House, I guess, but did not move forward. And doing away with the Board of Elections. And also an idea that Mark has about putting all the boards and commissions on their website. So don't you go away. We'll be right back. Don't you miss it. And if you've got a question for us, you just give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
All right, we're back here. That's okay. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery talking about a lot of different things here with Mark Hammond. He is the Secretary of State. And, when you sat down here, you said, are we going to have enough to talk about for an hour? And look at this. The hour's almost up. But real quick, you have Scrooges and Angels. And I know every year during the holiday season, you always put out your list. Couple of points on that. One, you do want somebody can write a letter if they think a charity is really outstanding,
yes,
and would like to be on the angels list. But also, what is the criteria to being a Scrooge versus an angel?
Well, the criteria to be a Scrooge, and this is part of our public awareness campaign. We do this every year in November, right before the holiday season begins, because that's when a lot of solicitations are occurring out there. But the criteria for a Scrooge is 40% or less of the total expenditures are used for program services, a significant professional fundraiser cost. And I was going to mention earlier before the break, when these telemarketers call, they are usually signing an agreement with that charitable organization. And right off the top, it's an 80-20% split. So every contract that we receive in the office, usually 80% goes to the fundraising and only 20% goes to the charitable organization.
That's horrible.
It is, but really it's less than 20% because sometimes they even add other fees on top of that. I have heard some organizations only getting 10% after they pay off the professional fundraisers.
It'd be better to do it yourself and get a whole lot less money.
Yeah.
I mean, serious, yes.
Yeah. And not under active investigation or they're not currently paying a fine, and include at least one South Carolina charity. We look, and a lot of people sometimes want to accuse us of picking all these national charities and not charities here in South Carolina. Well, that's not the case. I look at charities also here in South Carolina. So, again, a lot of the cases that we make are calls that we receive from the public. And, again, I've given the toll-free number. We encourage people to call us and let us know if they have any concerns about any charitable organization. But I think last year was the 16th announcement, a 16th Scrooge and Angels announcement. That's hard to believe.
That's right. Yeah. Now, you know, one of the things that I noticed, I think an organization can start out as an angel but become a Scrooge.
They can.
I mean, I think I was reading about one of the organizations there that actually, I think back in 2003, you had given angel status to, and as the years went by, they turned into Scrooges.
Well, and what they've done, they probably went out and gotten involved with professional fundraisers and signed these contracts that so much money is going for the fundraising that it skews their numbers. It lowers the percentage going to the charitable purpose, and then our 40% threshold, they drop below that, and then we designate them as a Scrooge. If you look up on our website and you say, well, what is a good number as far as a percentage going to the charitable purpose, a national standard that we tell folks is that around 65% is a national standard, 65% going to the charitable purposes.
If they
number.
Have professional fundraisers? Or
well,
just
it's hard to
general.
Do that if you have professional fundraisers.
Well, that's
fundraisers.
What I was going to say.
So
okay.
That's why you need to do your homework, and that's why we provide all this information on our website. You can search a charitable organization through our website. If you go to scsos.com, on the right side, you'll see charity search. Type in the name of the organization, and all the financial information that we have received from that organization will be there. And at the very bottom of the screen, it'll tell you what their percentage is going to their charitable purpose. It'll also tell you how much money they're spending on fundraising. And that's a category that I added several years ago to help better inform our charitable donors.
Absolutely. So Scrooges and Angels, and, you know, with all that's been going on out there in the Midwest, Oklahoma, people have wanted to give money. What is your ironclad recommendation for people when disaster hits? You don't want to wait. You want to give
right then and there.
So what should people
South do? South Carolina, because, you know, like I said, we're such a generous state, and we want to help others. But, again, sometimes you need to do a little research, do some homework. So we did send out a press release after those terrible tornadoes in Oklahoma, just reminding our charitable donors that they need to make sure that these are good, legitimate organizations that they want to donate to, ones that can get the most help to those in need. So some of the tips that we wanted to give our charitable donors is, you know, give to an established charity. You know, the Red Cross would be established, and there's others that are in that area that, you know, can get boots on the ground.
Sure.
So look at those type
Salvation
of organizations that has a presence in that area. Designate your gift. I think this is very important. If you wanted to give a contribution and you wanted to make sure that contribution is actually going to the disaster relief of Oklahoma, you need to designate that and let that organization know that this is not to the general fund, but to actually go to those victims in Oklahoma. And then again, like we've talked about earlier, beware of the telemarketers and ask a lot of questions. And I told you some of the questions earlier that you should ask.
Now, sometimes some of the telephone, they'll tell you you can text on your phone to $10 or $1. You know, they'll do these type of things on the phone to help get money to these organizations very quickly, like the American Red Cross and things like that. So that's another way that things are happening.
Yes, that's right. Well, again, I would make sure that it's an established charitable organization, one that you feel comfortable with.
Absolutely. Well, we are talking about this, but a couple other things that we just want to hope, we may have to hold over a minute because I've got two questions, so we're going to have to hold Mark over here for just a second. Number one, there is a bill out there to do away with this as an elected office, and it would be an appointed office under the governor. Mark, how do you feel about that?
Well, I've been on record since 2002 when I first ran for Secretary of State. If I felt like it should have been an appointed office, I wouldn't have ran for it.
Okay. So, why do you believe it should not be an appointed office?
Well, I think there's some separation of powers here. And we spoke earlier, there's some responsibilities of the office that people aren't aware of. And one is I am like the notary for the state, or I attest to the governor's signature. A lot of her executive orders has her name as well as mine, so I am witnessing the governor's signature. So a lot of people feel like there should be some separation there. Also, the governor has 5 days to sign a ratified act into law, or to send it back to the legislature as a veto, or to let it become law without her signature. Well, those 5 days, she has to send it to the Secretary of State's office. So there should be some separation there. Do you want the governor appointing the Secretary of State, who's going to keep up with the 5 days when the governor's supposed to have these returned or sent back to the General Assembly? So, that's another point. Some people may say that things like that could be worked out, but those are things that I like to talk about and to remind people of. Another reason, and this may be just personal, but I travel all over this great state, and all I hear is complaints about the federal government. No one likes the federal government. And then they turn right around, well, if you make all this appointed, well, then what's the difference between South Carolina and the federal government?
That's true.
If so many people despise the federal government, complain about the bureaucracy and all the problems that they have, well, then why do we want to make South Carolina the model like the federal government? And I'm for accountability. I'm just not for giving up my right to vote on anything.
Well, I think that's those are all good points. I did want to cover that. Now, that's not going to come up the earliest it could come up in the next term, correct?
There were bills introduced. None of those bills for this office were set for committee. So if they are brought before the General Assembly, it'll be next year.
Okay.
For Secretary of State, there's other bills,
yes, exactly.
But for this office.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. The other thing you wanted to talk about was, well, actually 2 points. Charitable raffles, that's something that would have to be voted on. I didn't realize that. And also you are wanting to get onto your website about boards and commissions so people know who are on the boards and commissions. But first, let's just go through charitable raffles. What's the deal there, Mark?
Okay, well, the legislators got a lot of complaints, a lot from charitable organizations that not being able to conduct raffles legally hurts their solicitations. And just to give you a little bit of background, when South Carolina passed the education lottery, it was placed in the Constitution that that is the only lottery that is allowed in the state of South Carolina. Well, people would like to conduct raffles, and I know there's a lot of folks that are having raffles now, but there's Attorney General's opinions and the way it's been interpreted that it's against the law to conduct raffles currently. So the legislature passed and the governor signed this bill to allow charitable raffles, but it's going to have to be, it's a constitutional amendment. So the people of South Carolina are the ones who are going to decide on whether or not they want to allow charitable raffles in South Carolina. So next November of 2014, that'll be a constitutional question on the ballot on whether or not you would allow charitable raffles in South Carolina. If it passes, there is a accompanying legislation on how it's going to be implemented, on who's exempt, who's not exempt, and who's going to enforce the act. Well, the Secretary of State's office, just like we enforce the Solicitation of Charitable Funds Act, we would then enforce the Raffles Act. And if you were to conduct raffles $500 or more, if this passes, then you would need to register with the Secretary of State's office, and it would be the same as registering as a charity, and you would be allowed so many raffles a year.
Okay.
Anything below that, you would be exempt.
Okay. So that's something that is, coming down the pike. We will have
that's
to vote
right.
on that.
Yes.
Not this year,
maybe
but
I
next year.
Maybe I can come back later and
All
talk
right,
about that.
We, We can do that. And the other thing, though, real quick that I wanted to, you had mentioned that you're going to set up on your website, you want to list all the boards and commissions, people that are on it, is that, and vacancies?
I am. I think that the boards and commissions are a fourth branch of government here in South Carolina, and I think there's a lot of people in South Carolina who would love to serve, and these aren't paying jobs. Some are, but a lot of these are people who are, you know, just love this state and love to serve, but they don't know when there's a vacancy, or they're not sure if it's a gubernatorial appointment, or if the delegation picks the members to serve on the board, or if it's an election with the General Assembly. You can get that information if you call the Secretary of State's office. I currently list all the vacancies on our website, but I want to do much more than that. I want to have everyone that's serving on any board or commission in the state of South Carolina listed on our website. I also want to have when their term expires. I want to have when there's vacancies. I want to let them know if they're serving an expired term currently. And I want to have all that as easily accessible as possible. But then I also want to let people know if it is a gubernatorial appointment, if it's an election by the General Assembly, or if it's a appointment that will need the advice and consent of the Senate. So those are all things I believe people need to know, and I want to make that information more readily available to our citizens who I know want to serve.
Well, I think that's terrific, and I think, Mark Hammond, that since the last time you were here, you've made a lot of changes on the website, so I expect we'll be seeing a lot of changes moving forward.
Secretary of State's office is never closed. We won a national award and an international award. You can now file the Uniform Commercial Code, which is something we didn't talk about, but is very integral in the transaction of business, especially with the financial community. Those can be filed. Collateral can be searched 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now for 3 or 4 years, all charity registrations, all 990s or annual reports can be filed online. So the Secretary of State's office in South Carolina is never closed.
Absolutely. And what's that website?
www.scsos.com.
Save our state. Okay, there you go. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with Secretary of State Mark Hammond. Mark, thanks so much for coming up and making the drive up and the trip to sit down and talk to us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for me. I'm Ann Eller. We're going to sign off now. You've been listening to Meet Me at the Diner right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. I think we talked through the news, so I guess we'll join our other news program in progress after a quick word from our sponsors. Bye-bye, everybody. Hey, tomorrow morning, Congressman Joe Wilson, 9:05, right here on the I Love Ann Show. Make sure you're tuned in. Bye-bye, everybody.